Hey, are you guys done?
Should we start this?
Are you done talking about caffeine syrup and micro mini jacks?
I'm not, but I guess we can go to other stuff if you want.
That sounds like a breakfast cereal, doesn't it? Micro mini jacks.
Micro mini jacks.
Caffeinated syrup.
Oh. Apple jacks, cinnamon sugar. That's what it packs. Kellogg's Apple Jacks. Remember that?
Should we just call today off? Is that
how this is going?
People that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end. Tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
I got new guitar strings this week.
Wow.
Best guitar strings I think I've ever had on this thing. I just love it.
They just ring out.
It's one of the many blessings that have come my way this week.
Has it been a week full of blessings, Andy?
No.
Oh. Well, then you let us down. Good. I'm glad, too, because I've had a crappy week that I'm not going to complain about, but I'm more than happy for you to complain. So let's hear it.
Oh, thanks. Well, I've chosen, I guess is what I'm trying to say, to accentuate the positive. Because it has been a week of pure and utter shit in some ways. We had to put our cat Fuego to sleep this week.
Right.
And that was...
We're sorry for your loss, by the way.
Thank you for that. We'd had him around for almost 18 years. And, it's funny how grief works. I guess I had more time to, process like my parents passing and so forth. And then I certainly, wept then. But... I don't recall weeping as openly, I guess because it's shared grief, with my kids and wife, because we all knew Fuego, the same, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And my remembrance of my mother is lifelong, and they've only, my son only met her when he was an infant and wouldn't remember, and my daughter never met her, and Lara only met her a couple of times. Because they live so far away. So my grief for my parents was, I guess, more individual. But this, we all share this.
Sure.
So somehow I think I ended up crying more with the passing of this cat than I did with my own mother. That's how we started this Mother's Day edition.
I'm going to just check out right now.
There is such a thing as even this much time later, there is like residual grief. Because I remember when, as long as we're talking about dead moms, I'm going to jump right in.
take your whack, Larry.
When my mom died when I was 19, and
I didn't know you were so young. I'm
much
sorry
too
to
young, and of course, as most 19-year-olds, I mean, I was obviously hit very hard by it, and I'm sure I don't have any other reference point. I'm sure it impacted me for the rest of my life in having to be more independent or whatever it might be. I don't know any other world. But at the time, I was, as a 19-year-old, completely self-absorbed. I went right back to work. I went about my life. I had things to do. And it was after I had already gotten in a relationship with Sharla, and we hadn't gotten married yet, I don't think, but it was, like 5 or 6 years later when we were watching the Academy Awards, and they did some sort of retrospective. They were already saluting Steven Spielberg at this time or something, and they showed a clip from E.T., and suddenly Sharla looks over at me, and I'm sobbing on the couch, just sobbing. And it's, it's the, I'll be right here, touches his heart kind of thing, and the little glow on his finger. And I'm she was like, I know that movie's sad, but holy crap. And it was, that was the last movie I saw with my mom in a theater. She was in a wheelchair. She was going through chemotherapy and radiation in the 80s. And it was just... And it was not lost on any of us at how much that farewell was. We walked out very quietly out of the theater as we're pushing her out because we knew she didn't have much time left. And it wasn't until like 6 years later that I actually, that grief kind of, came to the surface, and much to Sharla's dismay, because I couldn't talk for like 5 minutes. It was just deep, heavy sobs. It's weird how that stuff just kind of nestles in there and yeah. comes out in weird places. So, I, you know, obviously you're going to miss your cat. But let's face it, it's a damn cat. So you probably had some other you had some other feelings come up through
yeah,
there.
Yeah, well, I mean...
and you've got a family now, too, who you're watching them be sad, too.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things at play there. Number one, when my parents passed, I had a family and had, you know, children to, at least a child at that point, to take care of, and couldn't spend a lot of my time stopping down to, you know, just have a good stop. With the cat now and, you know, having cancer myself, I think it is a bit of an analog for them of, you know, looking at potential loss.
Mortality.
Having a look down the barrel of mortality.
I remember when we lost Hammy. And you remember Hammy?
Hammy the hamster?
Yeah, Hammy the hamster.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that wasn't your pet pig, was it, Josh? Because seems a little on the nose. All right.
But I think I remember, actually, it wasn't when we lost Hammy. It was when we lost Jimmy, the Papillon, that Owen broke down over that. And I remember it was more of seeing him have a real grief for the first time. You know what I mean? That's right. What killed me is to be like, I'm actually witnessing him feel this way.
Watching
this deep of a reaction for the first time, and it's killing me because you know, I love him so much. I don't want to,
want him to feel that. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Seeing kids recognize that what death is for the first time is just heart. I mean, that's chipping away at their innocence bit by bit. And it's like, okay, they're never going to be quite the same.
We lost Hammy and we brought Hammy down in a little shoe box. Cindy brought him down. I wouldn't touch him because he was all gross. And
you thought it was inappropriate to start gagging uncontrollably?
Cindy brings him down into a shoebox to say goodbye, and Owen's looking at him crying, and he's having his little moment, and he sits there for about 2 minutes, and we close the box, and he turns and looks at me and goes, can we get a dog?
So, done grieving.
Exactly. Hammy wasn't even in the dumpster yet. He's already wanting a new dog.
Do you guys have any like childhood memories of like traumatic memories of just kind of recognizing certain things? I mean, and this sounds so dumb, but I still distinctly remember being on the playground first grade when Steven Sykes was explaining to a bunch of kids, and I just happened to hear it, why logically there could be no such person as Santa Claus. And he had a methodical point-by-point presentation that he was giving. And it all made perfect sense. And it was, you know, how could he do this? How is it possible? It's obviously your parents. He always seems to know it's. And it was just like, and it was this wave that came over me. It's like, all the signs were there. I refused to recognize them up until 6 years old. But then it hit me. It was like, this has been the big lie of my childhood.
Fraud.
I had but I was like 19.
When you found out there was no Santa Claus?
Oh, no. Okay. I might have told this story before, but my granddad, when I was a little kid, he was a captain in the Army, and he gave me the dress hat, the one that looks like the police officer's hat. He gave me his Army, and I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing in the world. And he told me, it belonged to Major Ass Tired. right. So I had this hat and I'd walk around for, you know, as like a 5-6 year old telling everybody it belonged. My dad be like, tell them who it belongs to. And I'd be like, belongs to Major Ass Tired. And everybody laughed. I never understood it. So years later, I'm sitting on a chair in the living room and my brother comes walking down and I don't know what happened. He goes, Where's that stupid hat that granddad gave you? And I went, what? He goes, remember that hat that he gave you? He goes, who did it belong to? And I went, Major Ass Tired. And he just looked at me and goes, oh my God, you never got it, did you? And I just sat there with my mouth open like, holy shit, I've been saying this for 14 years of my life telling people Major Ass Tired hat.
And did that happen on Thanksgiving?
Well, it would be a better story if it was just a better pun. That's the thing. It would be like, anyway, Nature ass tired. I can't even fathom that. All right.
Heavens. So yeah, anyway, it was a pretty rough weekend. And you know, Lara also lost her mom to breast cancer when she was very young, when she was 10. And so you know, being there with Fuego till the very end as he's euthanized and so forth. Mm-hmm. And the kids, I took them out into the guest house and we played, you know, old maid while all of that went down and stuff. It was a heavy week. Yeah. And it seemed like everything was fucking going, you know, against the grain. You know, all my packages from Amazon got delivered to the neighbors and just a whole bunch of bullshit.
It was gray and dreary most of the week. Yeah.
It was gray and dreary.
I was there and it was like my first week full time back into the building, and I was already going through a mini depression and was like, oh God, there's no sun out and there's nobody in on the it was just like there's nobody in the buildings, like, why am I here, why am I doing this? I felt better after I kind of got in the rhythm of things, but it was same thing, Andy. It was just like, yeah, everything just felt heavy this
week.
Was
so difficult. So I focused on these. There are a number of things happened that just brightened my day, and I kind of latched on. Like a friend of mine, Carell, gave me a few different types of guitar string to try, and I tried this one I hadn't tried before. I'm like, this is nice. It opens it up and made me. I like played more this week because I'm like, this is really fun. Listen to that. I've got a nice instrument. This is nice, and spent time doing that. Cleaned up. You can't tell because I'm in a void right here with the black behind me. And everything, but cleaned up my office because I was just getting fucking tired of crab walking sideways around everything.
If you want, you cleaning a room that you're always in, to me, it will change your attitude.
It changes your attitude. Oh. And it was like just getting some, and I've got a long way to go, but just getting a whole bunch of shit off the floor and vacuuming and all that.
A Sunday evening, if today is Sunday. After this, I'll probably, me and Cindy, we're all going to go out to lunch, but I'm going to spend some time cleaning because I like to have the house and everything situated by Sunday evening so we can start Monday. You know what I mean? Like kick off the week with everything's clean and, right. I don't have clutter laying around, stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's nothing as good as just like a clean house on a Sunday evening. And I'm, am I old for saying that? Boy, I want to take every word I just said back and just be quiet. I'm such a loser.
It's on the record. It's on the record, Josh. Sorry. Your innocence is lost.
The other thing that was happening this week is, gosh, if I would have known how nice people are to you when you get cancer, I would have done this a long time ago.
Should have just lied about it. Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to start doing the same thing. You don't mind, do you? I'm just going to.
I would have been drinking phthalates just to, you know, get something going. What is that? Munchausen syndrome? Something. Anywho, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But people have done these things and they've been spread out. It's just like so unexpected that every time something happens, it just, you know, it makes me smile. And it doesn't have to, like, somebody, you know, I'm supposedly losing my hair. I can't fucking understand it. I stopped losing my hair. It's like that's I need a haircut. Yeah, I'm like, my kids can't wait to shave my hair off, but it won't go away. And I'm like, let's not jump the gun. Let's just, you know, make sure that it's all going away.
Because you've gotten the heavy stuff, right? You've gotten the...
I got the... They say now it's cumulative, the effects of it. So mm-hmm. maybe next time around, it'll really whack me, but we'll find out. Mm-hmm. Anywho, so, you know, I'm expecting to lose my hair. Somebody sent me a fez.
Awesome.
Oh, man. Oh, please put that on.
Like a Shriner's fez?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's and fantastic.
It, and it's so small on my giant head that I look like, what's the Matt Groening character's Life in Hell?
Yeah.
You know, who wears a fez? I look like that guy. Uh-huh. It's a little
organ grinder's monkey.
Exactly. Yeah, Lara said we need to get you a couple of castanets.
There we go.
Oh,
that's
little symbols.
Fantastic.
It's great. So this week, like early in the week, like I want to say Tuesday, this happened. You know, so we put the cat down. The next day, get a huge box, and I open it up. It's from Cat's Deli. in Manhattan.
In New York, yeah.
Yeah. And it is...
That's the When Harry Met Sally deli, right?
Yes, yes. It has to be hundreds of dollars of meats in there.
Oh, jeez.
And like a corned beef.
So I'll trade my dog for that right now.
And a big sausage and some hot dogs and a loaf of rye, a pack of bagels, a pack of hot dog buns and these hot dog, all this kind of stuff. And some mustard
and it's and all sauerkraut, for you too. Huh?
And it's all for fucking me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was sent by my fantasy football friends in the wedding. Wet Hot Fantasy Football League. Yeah. They sent it to me and I said to them, you know, I constantly feel like this recidivist carnivore in a jail of vegetarians. Thanks for understanding and putting a file in the cake. This is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was just fucking great making these sandwiches every day for lunch and then for dinner. And it was just absolutely awesome. And it's amazing how something like that can change your outlook and your cholesterol numbers.
Well, I was going to say, what have your poops been like? You don't have to get specific,
Haven't had one since Tuesday.
There you go.
Bloody and painful. Let me just say that.
Jesus. You could have left it at that.
I often eat the food on the toilet.
Okay. It's,
So far, we talked about dead moms, dead cats, and bloody shits.
Yep.
This is going to be a hell of an episode.
This is a good one. Right now.
Then the next day, I get a box from one of my friends of these chocolates from this chocolatier in Boston. Oh my good God. I've rubbed this chocolate all over my penis.
I'm starting to think that this week was actually good because you said some pretty good shit so far.
It was so good. Oh my God. It's the best chocolate I've had in my life. There's this, these pecan clusters. It's the pecans with caramel and coated in like a darker milk chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, good God. It's fantastic. Fantastic.
Josh, are you starting to feel like we're slacking a little bit? Because I don't know about you, but I haven't even thought about sending me anything.
Do you need
an artificial friends mug? I can send one to you. I'll give you a big one, too.
I know a guy. it's been a week of those little gifts. And like last night, we went to the concert. Jason Mraz did a concert for the radio station for 88.5. So we went down, took the whole family in the car for the socially distanced concert, and went down for that. And the whole family there, fun time. Just these little mercies along the way that kind of tempered the shitty week that it was. So I've chosen to focus on those happy things, and it's worked out
good
this week.
Good. Yeah. I had the same thing. I remember, like I said, I was back in the office semi-full time for the first time in a year and a couple of months. It's crazy.
How was the experience of?
It was, Greg Sims, our afternoon guy, had warned Lara and I, Lara is our midday personality. And
Lara Scott.
Lara Scott. And he had said, because he's been back for a
while. Who's lovely, by the way.
They're all very nice people. Greg sent us this nice note saying, hey, good, welcome back, you guys. It's going to be great seeing you coming and going. But he said, here's what you're in store for. And he just kind of ticked off what he's been through. It's literally almost like a stages of grief for him. It was like, having to get in the car and come back. He said he went through a little mini depression, stuck in traffic, which is not something he's had to deal with for a very long time. He lives in Orange County and he's driving from Miracle Mile, which is fine coming in, but miserable at 7 p.m. when he's trying to get home.
By the way, not to derail your trail of thought, but what the fuck is going on with the 5 freeway down through there, that whole crush? Is that the way it's going to be for eternity?
I don't see how it's ever going to change. Yeah.
But you look to the left and the right, there's like big swaths of open pavement. Like, you can put more lanes. I'm sorry. Anyway, go back to your thought of the depression.
He just kind of told us what we were in store for. And is after a while, you're going to realize the energy being back in the room is great and all that. And that's exactly what happened. But for me, it was like for a year and whatever, I've been doing all my work like on the couch or at the dining table, and you know, it's been a different routine, or I've had the TV on in the background, or people milling about. And when I got into my office and kind of closed the door and, you know, kept following all the COVID protocols, I did something that I haven't been typically doing over the past year. And that's just pulling up Spotify and letting one of my playlists run. And I'm just sitting, it's so simple, but I'm sitting there working and I'm listening to music and these great songs pop on. And it's like, this is really great. A Cheap Trick tune comes on, Stiff Competition. And I'm like, oh, I haven't heard this in forever. And I'm just, it made me happy. It just made me very happy in that moment. And it's the same thing, Andy. It's like, it's a little thing, but it's like, oh, okay, this is how I used to do this while I'm doing something kind of, you know, repetitive and, you know, takes some focus, but I don't have to be like hyper focused. I can have great music playing on in the background and that lifts my spirit. So it was same thing. I was trying to kind of focus on the fact that, all right, I'm going to get back in the swing of things. I've done this before. Charla and I did this for 5 years. We're being big babies about it right now, but we'll be fine. So there you go.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, good for you. Yeah, it was fun this past Friday. You know, for this last year, it used to be that I would go into the office, right? And Mookie, the program director at 88.5, you know, I'm music director. He's a program director. We would sit down and we would listen to music together. It's like, hey, I found all of these songs. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? And he's like, yeah, and I found this and this and this. What do you think about? And so we would go back and forth and kind of prioritize what was going to happen the next week, you know, for ads and so forth. And COVID comes and we're not in the office anymore.
Right.
And we can't do that. You know, I make a list of stuff or, you know, a collection of things and send them like, hey, listen to this, listen to that. But if you get an email saying, listen to this, it's, there are more steps involved to actually sitting down and listening to it. And, you know, you hear a song, Larry, that you love and you, you know, want to share it with someone and you're luxuriating in it in your environment, but you send it to me and I've got cats and dogs running around behind me and kids pounding on the door. You know, am I getting the same, giving it the same opportunity that you did and so forth? Anyway, finally, this past week, for the first time, I'm like, hey, you know what? We can send sound across this Zoom. I can share my screen and send audio. If you get your headphones on, maybe we could listen to some songs. And we did that. And he actually posted an Instagram picture of us listening to the new Wolf Alice song for the first time. And it was just, you know, kind of fun to be having a legit, you know, music meeting again. By the way, Wolf Alice, the band. First time I heard it, I thought someone had taken some wool and fashioned it into the form of a penis. Wolf phallus. But no, it's Wolf Alice.
Yeah, I definitely didn't hear it the way you said you thought you heard it. Yeah.
It never occurred to me at all.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a special guy. I'm a special person.
Yeah.
But it was, it's weird how new efficiencies have been built into our lives because of this thing.
Yeah.
And yes, to some degree, things will change as we go back.
An example of that same thing is my wife had to go into the office last week for a little bit. And it's like probably the second time since this has gone down that she's had to go in. And because one of the other paralegals is leaving for another job, and she wanted to go in and just kind of get some instructions to take, because she was taking over some of her tasks, and they had never met before. So she says she gets there, and they're social distancing. She says they're like the only two people in the office, and they have their masks on. And she said they both just started talking and like, they were like forgetting words and they said just went on for like a half an hour until they both looked at each other and were like, why the hell can't we have a conversation? And then she's like, it's because I've literally not had a conversation face to face with anybody besides my husband and my child for a year and a half. Even like the only people I really talk to that are other than my wife and my child that are face to face are cashiers. That's it. I don't talk to anybody else. You know what I mean? And she was like, we couldn't do it. we were stumbling on words and forgetting how to say it, just using the wrong words at the wrong time. And just saw like a couple babbling idiots.
Well, think about this. When I was thinking the other day, when's the last time? Cause I'm a hugger, like with people I know. When's the last time?
The one thing you gotta know about
You've never once hugged me.
I know that. But I love to hug people I care about,
and it's gonna stay that way.
When's the last time?
That is correct.
When's the last time you hugged somebody or shook somebody's hand that wasn't in your immediate family? Like, when's the last time you actually? A shoulder or something.
We had the air conditioning guy come in a while ago, and he was leaving, and just out of habit, I like reached out, and as he's leaving, I put my hand out, and he put his hand. We shook hands, and we just kind of looked at each other like, "Oh God, are we both going to die now?" Because it was just a habit. I didn't know, and then it was weird. It was like, I touched somebody.
Is this the second time this year already you've had the air conditioning people out there?
Well, they come out for the heater too,
right?
Yeah, the heater in the winter and the air conditioning in the summer. That's two.
Yeah, but so far this year, weren't you just talking a couple months ago about having the guy out there?
Yeah, when it was cold.
I said that we didn't. They didn't come out for the heater this year. Remember we talked about that? And I said, come out. But that's they did come out for the summer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I was going to say, it sounds like the guy's like lives there.
We got a little chair for him out in the garage.
Sleeps behind the water heater.
We set another plate up for him for lunch and everything.
No wonder you have such an intimate relationship with him, shaking his hand, hugging him, giving a little peck on the cheek, European style.
After he's done, we went and played one-on-one hoops out in the garage.
Sounds like you basically quarantined with him. So it's great. Well, fellas, you know, this is airing on the Thursday before Mother's Day.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about mothers here at the top, but in the best way possible.
Of course.
But I was just wondering if you guys had any remembrances of your mother that you wanted to share, anything that comes across as something about your mom that was special that you've been thinking about in recent times, and I'll throw it out to the room. Josh, did you have anything?
I was thinking about it, and it's weird because there's just so many things. I feel like as men, we take our mothers for granted because they do so much that it's. It doesn't, you don't remember all the stuff that they do just because they're doing so much stuff all the time that we take it for granted. So like, I just remember all the good times and everything and her being around, but more specifically, I remember a few phrases that just come to my mind.
Phrases.
She had three of them. And one of them was, when she was driving, was shit or get off the pot. That was a good one. You know what I mean? that was a fan favorite.
So a dainty flower your mom
yes,
was.
Yes. Remind everyone that we're talking about a Pittsburgh native. Here, yes. So.
That's right.
The other one
that's
was
pretty benign for a Pittsburgh family.
Yeah.
The other one was when me and my brother were playing ball in the house. This isn't the damn YMCA. That was the one thing to say all the time. Right? And then probably my all-time favorite was, there's three damn televisions in this house and they all have football on. Why can't you all sit in the same room and watch the same game?
That's great.
Those are the key phrases.
Those are the things you remember, the things that you heard over and over, or the things that you heard that made you laugh.
And did your mother, did she spank you? Did you ever get a spanking from your mother?
Never.
No. Oh, my dad, I got a couple of, I did. I was a pretty good kid, but I have very distinct memories, but it was my dad in the belt.
But when dad wasn't around, mom had to take shit into her own hands. And she only did it like once or twice, but It was out of the five the top five beatings of my life.
So wow!
It was one of them. She took a wooden spoon, right? And had me by, and I was young enough where she could still out muscle me. So I was probably, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years old, and she was trying to hit me in the ass, but she kept hitting me in the fat of the back of the thighs. Mm. Oh, and you're running, right? So you're kicking up in the air like you're leading a marching band. You're going, and then you're crying. You're going.
Do you remember what you did?
Oh, no, I don't know. I did something.
It's so many things.
Probably there were so my many glasses things. In the bushes.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Larry, what about you?
Well, like I said, you know, I lost my mom when I was 19. So all of my memories are confined mostly to childhood. And I think because of that, and also because of just watching the kind of valiant fight she put up in the last few years of her life, I fight kind of trying to put her on a pedestal. But she was a great mom, and she was a working mom, a single mom for much of my adolescence when she and my dad divorced. And also it was the 70s. So the things I remember are, you know, lots of casseroles, lots of, you know, cost cutting things.
Hamburger helper.
Yeah. I don't want to say she was a bad cook, because when she really did cook, she was great. But because she would work all day, she was using as many of those available 70s shortcuts as possible, which made for everything in one dish meals, which my sisters and I were like, oh my God, when can we learn to cook and start doing? It was just, get dinner ready as quickly as possible. And of course, we were no help at all. We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah, exactly. And then all you guys have stuff to do too, because you got like football practice and stuff after school. So there's like an hour and a half window from when the old man gets home from work and he's starving because he's been out digging ditches all day. And then she gets home from work and she's got to put something together to feed.
Yeah. So it was quickly as possible, cheapest, quickest ingredients, usually out of cans. And we hated every single, to this day, my sisters and I compare notes on that, because we agree when she cooked for real, she was a great cook. The other thing is that my mom was very much kind of a product of the time with, you know, the women's liberation movement, they were calling it in the 70s, and, you know, Virginia Slims, You Come a Long Way, Baby. We talked about cigarette commercials on there. I'm pretty sure she had been a smoker most of her like teenage life, you know, going to high school in the 50s. And that was it was very cool to do that, especially as a woman. And she had quit when she had kids, but she had taken it up again, I think after my mom got divorced, and she never wanted us to see her smoking. So probably from when I was maybe 10 or 11 until she passed away, my mom was always convinced she was hiding she was a smoker. And all three of us absolutely knew she was smoking. You could not avoid the smell, in her hair, big old, you know, 70s bouffant thing, the giant ashtray filled with butts that was in the car. All you had to do was pull it out and see all that stuff. You know, and the sad part is obviously it contributed probably to her her illness later, but she just was convinced that we were never seeing it. Either that, or it was that kind of Texas Southern thing of let's not talk about it, even if it's fairly obvious.
Right.
And the other thing I remember is mom wasn't like a big sports fan necessarily. She fulfilled her obligation, which is required by law in Texas, to go to high school football games on Fridays, especially when it's, you know, freaking Permian High School in Odessa. You kind of have to. Yeah. And my older sister was the drum major in the band in her senior year. So
that's
that was
a big thing for Odessa, isn't it?
Huge. Friday Night Lights,
man. The band is bigger than the football team, I think.
The band was ridiculous. It was like 300 people. And they were award winning the whole bit. But sports was not ever, like your mom, Josh, she didn't care. But something about the NCAA tournament caught her interest. And every year, and in the 70s, it was only on one channel. And so there was a lot of rebroadcast. So you would see a lot of delayed games. You'd have no idea, you know, and she wouldn't know who St. John's was. She couldn't care that who UCLA was. But sure. She'd be up at 11 o'clock at night, Central Time, watching these replays of games for these random schools and yelling and screaming. I just have this memory. It's like, when did you get interested in college basketball in the Middle Atlantic region? It's like, who are you?
Did she have a favorite team, or was it just the tournament?
She just got caught up in the tournament, loved the Cinderella stories, just wanted to watch it. She looked forward to it every year. It was like her freaking Oscars. It was crazy.
There's a reason they call it madness.
Yeah, indeed.
That brought back a quick memory of my mom. Larry is, I always remember she used to watch soap operas, right?
Oh, yeah. And we were a Days of Our Lives family.
I gotta watch my stories.
Yeah, or soaps. But she watched, there was like two or three of them, like starting at like right after The Price is Right up until 1 p.m. There was like two or three of them, and she'd watch them. And at least once a day, I'd catch her under her breath going, "What a hussy." Yeah. Every single, she'd go, "Oh, what a hussy." Just
one of those things worked.
Yeah.
What about you, Andy? Awesome. What about your mom?
Yeah, the thing, I remember kind of a couple of things that both of you are talking about. You jogged memories, Josh, of things that she would shout, like if we had the radio on too loud. Down or off? those we were given choices. Down or off? My sister just shared one with me when she used to sweep. You know, you've got seven kids. Sweeping the floor in a small house, trying to keep things clean, and kids are in the way. She would say, anything bigger than the dirt moves itself. Which I thought was pretty great. But I remember, and another thing that you were talking about, Larry, you know, the bravery that she showed as she battled pancreatic cancer. My mom, if you met her for the first time and said, "How are you doing?" She'd say, "Just great. Just great." And that was the answer. And she, you know, she worked in her later retirement years at Kmart part time and so forth. And everybody, all of her coworkers, you know, they kept in contact after she left because she was just special and a fun person to be around. So I remember her positivity and all of that. But more than anything, I remember her sense of humor. She would say shit and she would put words together. That, like, you know, puns or whatever, but she would just do stuff, say things that were genius sometimes. Remember Manwich? Yeah. Talking about
that was a staple in the Morgan household. You
the
betcha.
1970s, you know, meal
sloppy joes, man.
Yep. Buns, sure. Buns, meat, and sauce. That's all you need.
And the slogan for Manwich was a sandwich is a sandwich, but a Manwich is more like a meal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My mom said a sandwich is a sandwich, but a Manwich is a warlock.
God. Oh no.
Now mom jokes. It's all falling together now. Now I see it. Yep.
So that's the gene that you got it from.
Exactly. It all makes sense.
I flashed on a moment with my mom that I have never forgotten. And it was, you know, it was one of those, there was a generation gap with like pop culture and music and stuff, obviously, you know, 70s music is so iconic for us. But for somebody who maybe grew up coming out of like old standards into the rock era. And my dad was in a band and he ended up wanting to do country music, but everybody was trying to be in a band at one point, and he cut a couple of singles. I think we talked about this before.
But
my mom played music on the piano. She played classical music, and there was some stuff she liked, but she was always disparaging the music that we wanted to listen to on the radio, the local top 40. And I remember her just absolutely like ripping apart Have You Ever Seen the Rain by CCR. Just didn't understand the song. Oh. Just thought it was stupid. And any Creedence song that was kind of a hit around that time, Looking Out My Back Door, any of those, she just didn't like John Fogerty's voice. It just rubbed her the wrong way. But I remember distinctly one day I heard the garage door open. So she had gotten home from work, and I was just kind of doing homework or something, sitting there in the living room. It's like a few minutes went by and she hadn't come in. So I think for some reason I walked out the front door just to kind of look and make sure that I had it right. And was like, oh yeah, the garage door is open. The station wagon is in there. And I hear music playing really loud. And then I kind of listen more carefully and I hear her singing along. And this must have been, maybe it was 79, 1980, something like that. And so I kind of peek around and I'm cautious because, again, I don't want that awkward moment of catching her smoking in the car, because that was pretty typical when she gets home.
Sure.
But I was so curious, and it was Billy Joel's Honesty was on the radio, and my mom was in there, and I didn't even know that she listened to the station, this top 40 station, but she was in there. Honesty!
Hardly ever heard!
She was belting that song out, knew every word, and I backed off, and it just made my heart swell as like, I'm going to let her have her moment and sing along to the Billy Joel song. Because I was
awesome.
A big Billy Joel fan. I knew that song myself. Anyway, I've never forgotten that. I love that.
Yeah, it's fun to think back about, you know, and especially, you don't think back about the horrible stuff as nearly as often as you do about the good things that happened in your life. So yeah, it's fun.
Unless you had a horrible mother. And if any,
yeah.
And I like to think that the three of us here did not have that experience.
What's great too is she gave me some things that I can pass on and use again, material that I can use again. And one of my favorites was my dad one time, I guess one of us said something that was halfway intelligent. And he said, "Frida, who do you think the kids got their smarts from, me or you?" And she said, "Oh, you." And he's like, "Really?" All surprised. And she goes, "Yeah, because I still have mine." right there on the edge of it. So yeah, I've used that on Lara a couple of times.
Oh,
it's good to have that material.
That's some good mom humor right there.
It is good. Yeah, mom jokes.
And you know what else that we're not talking about is. As we go through our lives with our wives and get to see them become mothers, it helps you.
Oh, shit. I just realized Lara's a mom.
Well, it also makes you appreciate seeing what they're doing for their kid makes you appreciate what your mom did for you that you never really realized because you didn't see it from that angle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You didn't see all the effort and everything that you just thought it was like, so what? You had to leave work to come get me. It's no big deal. But it's not, you know, now you kind of get it. So.
Oh, dude, that's a memory for me. And it is a regret for me losing her so young is that I didn't have that kind of adult moment where you kind of get to go to her and maybe not be as maudlin to say that, but at least show her. Oh, wow. It took me this long to realize how much you did. But that memory of me at 15 years old, walking out of my first radio job in Odessa, Texas, closing the door of KOZA AM, turning the power off on Sunday night because they turned the transmitter off until Monday morning, and walking outside, out in the middle of nowhere, outside the city limits in Odessa, with my mom in her robe in the station wagon, pissed that she had to be there at midnight to pick me up because it was something I really wanted to do, with just running Casey Kasem and taped shows until midnight on a Sunday, the night before school. And she was just, and even then I'm like, why are you? I'm sure at the time I was like, why are you so mad? I mean, thanks for coming and getting me, but boy, the attitude. And of course that was putting her out. Oh my God. That's the last thing in the world she felt like doing. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. So, this weekend is Cindy's birthday.
Yeah. Was.
As we record this.
Yes. It was yesterday. Yeah,
it was this past week. And it's also next week, Mother's Day. Do you feel like, you know, this is good enough and you don't have to do anything next weekend?
I already bitched and said, hey, you get too many days close together. Hey, it's a little BS.
Well, let's face it, Josh. It kind of falls on Owen. Let's face it. It's about time he stepped up. And, you know, technically, it is to celebrate her being his mother, and that shouldn't fall on you.
That's true.
I mean, I've got I'm about to turn 30-year-old as a kid. It's way more his responsibility now.
Give Owen a 20 bill and say, go to it, buddy.
Pick some out nice.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's a good idea.
I'm going to Home Depot. I'll be back.
Now, Larry, get me some metal snips. I need some for a project I just started. Larry, for you.
Are you fishing? Do you want me to ask? Is this a fish?
I think that's
what do you need metal snips for, Andy?
No. I can tell you.
Surely it can't be a gutter problem.
Well, it is not. Hey, Josh, at least you got your cancer gift hint. So you know what to have hand delivered. I'm still waiting for my hint.
They would talk about a recall here. The cats have taken to shitting in the garden boxes.
So what are you gonna snip with?
Lara decided she wanted that to go away. So I'm making a fence for the perimeter of each of the boxes, and I have to doing the panels of fencing, and I got the shittiest snips. It's killing me.
Nothing will ruin your day than a shitty snip. I'll tell you that.
Man, I hate it. Hate it.
You did have a bad week, dude.
Or a snippy shit.
A snippy shit.
Yeah, that's the one. I knew you were here going.
Your week's just getting worse. You just looked out at these shitty snips and like, damn it all to hell, this week's terrible.
So, Larry, for you, is Alex going to be... Is he going to be in town there for Mother's Day or not?
I don't even know. Sometimes I feel like I insult him by having to remind him. You know, I think it's to the point where he's organized enough that he knows when our birthdays are. He knows when our anniversary is. He's got to know when Mother's Day is. But
happy anniversary, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Cindy even mentioned
it. It was just a couple weeks ago, right?
Isn't Larry's anniversary around my birthday? Cindy brought it up yesterday. I'm like, how would I know?
It was a couple of Fridays ago, I guess, or Saturdays ago.
Yeah. What number is it? How many years?
34.
Wow.
We were teenagers when that happened. So
that's amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we were very young. So
my question to you, Larry.
Glad you let that pass. What's that? Go ahead.
My question to you is, if Alex doesn't bother showing up that weekend, you just kind of let it pass, right? I mean, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it.
Exactly. What are
you planning on doing for Mother's Day?
As I just mentioned, after 34 years, we are there is a detente with Charla and I. We have reached a point where going overboard, doing like getting cards for each other, which is just they've gotten so stupid and expensive.
Expensive for no reason.
You know, at the most we will do is a nice meal for each other or, you know, maybe go out and when you could go out and do something. And for the most part, we just end up going, let's just stay in and we'll make so-and-so.
It's the same way here with birthdays, but like we're also at the point that like if we do anything raw-ish, it's for Owen. It's for Owen to be, to be like, oh, yay, mommy, we're doing this for mommy. But Mother's Day and Father's Day, it's more one of those, you don't have to do anything today. You know what I mean? You go sit on the couch or what do you want for dinner? What do you want for breakfast? That's, you know, you don't have to do, we'll do anything you want and nothing you don't want to do. Yeah. So that's
Alex is a good enough cook, and especially when it comes to like breakfast and brunches, that if he's around, she might ask him to, because he makes these, he's all paleo right now, and he's found these paleo waffles that he enhances with like these amazing eggs and this
caffeine syrup.
Like, this aioli he makes and caffeine syrup on top. And he's a really good cook when it comes to like egg dishes and stuff. And I think she's going to request that he make something for her this Sunday. And then that's it. And, you know, as long as she gets a touching Facebook post that makes her cry a little bit, I think she'll be happy.
Nice. So you can have Sam write something for you?
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah, we farm Josh that Fligger. Out.
That's so, Josh Fligger. That's Larry Morgan. Yeah, and Sam Farmer's on assignment.
Yes, he is.
It's high time we get to that. So, hey, Larry, what, did you have something you wanted to add, Josh?
Real quick, for Cindy's birthday, Owen, he did it for my birthday too. He draws her a picture, makes her a nice card. You know,
yeah.
Well, the dog this week, Charlie.
He draw her a nice picture too?
Well, Charlie had gotten into the laundry basket and had come out of the laundry basket with a pair of panties wrapped around his head, right, and is walking around the house with these pink panties wrapped around his head. And he can't get them off, and he's just staring at me. And I'm like, you've dug that ditch, buddy. You get yourself out of it. I'm pointing and laughing, and we're all having a good time. Well, Owen draws a picture, and on the front of it is me and Owen and Becca waving high and saying happy birthday, and then it says flip over, and he turns it over, and on the back is a full-size picture of Charlie with a pair of panties wrapped around his head, and it says happy birthday, Mom.
Oh, that's a keeper. That's a good one.
And he had a diagram pointed to it, and it said panties.
Nice.
That's brave of you to share that the dog got into your panties.
Why? Hey, whatever.
Hey, we got a couple of phone calls, people.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, get ready on the little button over there, Larry. The first one about to go, but I wanted to let you know that our phone number, the YAF line, if you want to call us, is 626-657-6428. That's 626-657-6428 or OAMUCKPM.
Hat.
All right. Hit that button there. Low energy bike. Fart.
Low energy bike. Hey, yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Life is busy in this part of the country for a ditch digging man. Although I did get to go for a mountain bike ride Sunday. There are still patches of snow on the mid-mountain trails, but we did manage to ride most of Dirt Circus, which is a mountain bike-specific black diamond trail. Ooh. It's big fun.
Dirt Circus.
I got all my rocks stacked last week, and this week has been playing catch-up with some small jobs. Yesterday was digging for fill behind a house, and then hauling the fill for a bridge approach, and helping the saw guy dump three very large Doug fir trees. Two of these were close to 4 foot at the butt. These trees will be used for the bridge. Then I moved up the road to another job and spent a couple hours ripping and piling in a homeowner's rock pit for filling up a slight slope where a new barn will be built. More of that today. Good times for a ditch digging man. Dot, see you later.
Wow.
Is Dirt Circus the worst name for a porn of all time?
It's the greatest name I've ever heard.
As soon as he said it, I just pictured, I'm like, oh my God, that's got to be the worst porno movie ever.
I'll tell you what, you know, I wanted to do an alt country band and call it, you know, if you go out far enough on Mulholland Drive, out towards the ocean, Topanga Pass there. They it continues, but it's a dirt road, and they call it Dirt Mulholland. And I just thought, oh God, what a great name for a alt country band, Dirt Mulholland, Dirt Circus.
That's pretty great.
We had when we were,
I'm using Dirt Circus.
When we had when I was back east in Butler, we had my friends and I. They were all in a band, and I played guitar. And like once a month, we'd all get together somewhere and set up drums and, you know, a PA and everything, and we'd all rotate an instrument so we wouldn't play the instrument that we know.
Nice.
And we were a punk band, and we named ourselves the Congressional Spikes. and we just get a bunch of beer and just get hammered and play like just play like Wipeout, play like the simplest songs you can think of, but nobody's playing the instrument that they knew. You know what I mean? Like the guitar player be playing the drums, and the bass player be playing the guitar, and the singer be playing the bass. It was just insanity. And we play like Lola. We play it for like 45 minutes.
It sounds like great fun, but it also sounds like it would sound terrible.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely horrible. That was the whole point. That was the whole point. And our goal was to actually take over a open mic one night, but we were going to wear ski masks and go, we're the fucking congressional spikes, 1, 2, 3, 4, and just start playing like.
Larry, we need to close that up, right?
That segment.
That was low energy, Mike. That was low energy, Mike.
All right, move on here. We got another phone call. You'll know who it is.
It's George from Long Beach. Sorry about not getting call in for the most recent episode. In my defense, I must say that the window you give for response is quite small for those of us who have busy lives.
That's true.
The podcast posts at 4 a.m. on Thursday morning, unless Andy forgets to push a button, and then it shows up at 6 or 7 a.m. If I'm lucky, I can find time to listen to it on Thursday morning at work. That particular Thursday, I was able to listen to it, and then it was off to get a vaccine. Then it was back to work and working later to make up for the 2-hour wait for the vaccine. I was able to do the research on Thursday evening, up early on Friday for my day job, and spent the afternoon on my side job. And of course, Friday night is date night. Saturday morning, I had to finish the work on my side job, and by the time I came up for air, it was 10:30 a.m. I had missed your taping of the next episode. But enough about that. There was a question raised in the Umami episode where Andy was attempting to take a shower without soaking the port in his chest. Andy mentioned hermetic seal, and Josh wondered what a hermetic seal was.
That's on you, Josh.
Then he flippantly answered his own question by saying that a bunch of guys named Herman had a skill in creating seals. Josh had no idea how very close he had come to the actual answer. It wasn't a bunch of guys named Herman. It was one guy. Well, not a guy, but a god. The Greek god Hermes. Hermes was known for many things, including the god of alchemy. Alchemy involves mixing of chemicals. It also means that you need to prevent the mixing of chemicals in some situations, even if the chemicals are gases. Hermes was good at that, and when Hermes sealed it, it was airtight. Thus, hermetic seal is an airtight seal. I hope this concrete example of etymology, that is, word origins, cements my position as your go-to guy for virtually any question. Until next time, this is George from Long Beach.
Wow, George from Long Beach with the wordplay, all with callbacks
to previous episodes.
I rarely praise George, but he just crushed that one out.
And you know what's scary is how close he got to understanding my actual schedule and what happens in my Andy does this on a Thursday morning at 4 a.m. unless he forgets, and then Aaron reminds him.
And I appreciate the detailed apology that he gave about missing the cutoff for getting the answer.
Now I know exactly
what he's doing. So Enjoy your date night on Friday.
I'm going to call him back on date night.
Yeah. Nice to know he's got an active social life. I appreciate it.
How's the date going, George?
A couple jobs. Guy's not messing around. Maybe if he worked a little harder on that other job, he wouldn't have to finish up on Saturday morning, though.
Wow.
Might want to work on that, George.
So a little carrot, little stick there from Josh is what I'm hearing. Larry, was there anything in the yaf-sack that you wanted to share with us?
We got some holdovers. This is going back a couple of episodes, but thanks to Teresa, who also wanted to join in on the bitching about Saran Wrap. And she is touting, I believe, scanning the email, she's touting stretch tile plastic wrap, ginormous boxes of them at Costco. Apparently that works better. Then there is our old friend Rowdy, who sent us a sound file regarding Sam Gate, and I'm going to have to do more investigation of this. But apparently, he's really digging into the granular nature of how we have been accusing Sam of being missing for some time. So I'm going to have to get into that. A couple of people like Nolan, who sent us a giant, well, his email subject line was favorite song ideas dump. We had talked about if we wanted to do a music episode, and he gave us everything from driving songs to beach songs, summer songs. You know, with summer coming up, beach songs might not be bad. Carla also made the same suggestion. How about favorite beach songs or road trip songs? And then I also heard from Sean, who said, my dad loved his Copenhagen. He had a can cutter screwed into the cab of his truck so he could open a new can while driving.
Wow. Yes. Screwed into the roof of his truck?
In the cab, I guess. Oh, okay. Right. So he could do it while driving.
What?
Oliver, that's amazing. Who says, as part of my job, I get to take a lie detector test every few years. It sucks, but really, it's just a ruse. Anyway, also, I fired up the podcast when I left work, and it ended just as a 60s at 6 started. Works for me. I'll see you at Anawalt, Andy. Shed talk will never die. If you would like to send along an email to us and drop something in our sack, that is yourartificialfriends@gmail.com.
By the way, I rarely get recognized anywhere. I mean, you're on radio, so, you know, people don't recognize your face that much. But last night, we go to the concert, right, Jason Mraz, and they asked me to do the stage announcement, introducing the band. Mm-hmm. So I go and I do that. Then I'm walking back to where we're parked, you know, amidst, past all of these other people. And people just see me on the big screen. They know, you know, recognize now who I am, and I'm walking over there. And there are people on either side of us, no idea who I was, never listened and so forth. But all of a sudden, they're like, hey, how's it going? You know, having a conversation. And I go over, my kids are just like Vivian's having a meltdown about a cookie or some shit and whatever. And Silas is asking questions. I just lean over to Silas. I'm like, okay, this is one of those few times when people know who Daddy is. Can we give them at least the ruse that he's a good parent and bring things down to a boil? They did a great job. I've got to give them credit.
Oh, good.
At least they didn't do things like, Daddy, don't beat him again. You know,
I was going to say, that's where you're like, hey, yeah, thanks for listening. As you take your belt off and start looping it, smacking it against your hand.
Viv, come here. You met my kids, huh? Larry, how can people get a hold of you?
If you really want to, I am on Instagram at @TheLarryMorgan. That's the best way.
Josh.
JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com. Did we give away the email address for our...
Yes.
Oh, we did? Okay, never mind that.
Yeah, thanks for paying attention.
I quit listening. There's a mirror over here. I was looking at myself. I'm like, damn, that guy's good looking.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, okay, where are we?
Wow, we went from Hermes to Narcissus. This is a
narcissistic seal. Andy, how can somebody get a hold of you?
I'm so glad you asked. Okay. They can do it three different ways on the Twitter, Andy_Chanley, on the Instagram, Andy Chanley, or they can do it on Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley. Fellas, this has been fun.
Yeah. It was a good time.
I want to sing to you a little song.
Okay, do it. Okay, can we sing with you?
I wish you would.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Sing along if you know the words.
All right.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships, and tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friend.
I bet you they sound really good if they get played right too.
You know what? You can bite it.
You can bite me.
You can bite me.